Today's daf in the Masechet Nazir, brought to you by Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem Gimel. So we had a very interesting machlokas about what the din would be, and the way that Rabbi Yosef ends up explaining it, the way we understood the Gemara, was what the din would be, according to Rav Huna, in cases of Tuma V'Tuma or Tuma V'Bia. So Tuma V'Tuma, we said you can add Tuma because of Tuma B'Chiburi. And you, therefore, would be chayav afilo libet Rav Huna. But Rav Huna certainly holds that without adding tuma, it's true. You would not get a separate malchus, even with a separate hasra, if you didn't do anything that was meaningful in terms of the dinim of tuma. However, we also have a pasuk, I'll call nafshot meit lo yavo, which means that there's an isra of lo yavo. You're not allowed to be nichmas to a bias with a mace. So originally, we had thought, before we had this whole hesber of Rabbi Yosef, we thought that, according to Rav Huna, if you had walked into the house, even when you were Tameh, then you were over on a separate Isser. But now that we understand that the point of Rav Huna is focused on the addition of Tuma, and that wherever there's an addition of Tuma, such as by Tuma B'chiburi, you would be over if you got a separate Hasra, and on the Tuma that comes from Knisa Labayit, you would be over if you got a separate Hasra, but you didn't add anything with the Knisa Labayit. So why would you be over now that we're focusing on the need to have done something meaningful in terms of your state of Tuma? So the Gemara answered, it would have to be a case where you became Tameh and entered simultaneously. Now, we weren't able to do that without causing major bodily damage to the person who was coming in. But we did figure out that if he helicoptered in and then opened the door, so then he would become Tameh and Nichnas Labayit at the same time. So that was the curious case that we came up to yesterday. Now, today, the Gemara wants to figure out whether we could extend that and find a simpler case, which would really be a big chiddush. Omar Marbar, so Marbar of Ashi Omar, you don't have to say it's talking about helicoptering in. Actually, it could be talking about a case where a nazir walks into a house where someone is at the edge of death. So he is goses. So this person is dying. Now, in the hospital, they've already announced all Kohanim leave the hospital, right? Okay, but this guy, he doesn't care, and he goes into the hospital, this nazir. Then the guy actually dies. So he's sitting around smoking a cigarette, the nazir. He wants to die too, I guess. And this person actually goes ahead and dies. V'nafak nishmasei adiyatev. And that case would mean that the Tuma and the Bia happened simultaneously, because when he walked in, he essentially did the act that would expose him in the end to the Bia, into a house with a mate. So then that means, obviously, that up until the moment when the guy actually dies, he would not be Metameh. He's only going to be Metameh when he dies. Is that for sure? Tanu Rabbanan. Because remember that we have lo yitama ba'al ba'amav leheichalo. And that's what we used before to say if you use b'chulol ve'omeid, so then he hasn't added anything. So we're using that word leheichalo, which normally we talk about being mechalo, the Kohen. You know, that has to do with his daughter going out and being mizana, or having an iser child who is a halal because it was born from an illicit union, whatever. But over here, it says lo yitama lehechalo. So obviously we're talking about a type of hechalo. It's a double meaning, because lehechalo is a lotion of halal. And of course, kimatse halal means when you find a corpse. So a halal means somebody who's been killed as opposed to a mate. But it's another way of saying mate, you would think, right? So the Rabbanan say here in the Braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, when it says lo yitama ba'al ba'amav lehechalo, it means that until he actually dies, there's not going to be an iser. Sheyamut, he has to be a halal, meaning he's been shot, and he's finished. Whereas Rebbe says, well, it says beferish by the Remember, by the Nazir, it says, La'avivu li'imo, la'achivu la'achoto, lo yitama lehem bimotam. So he's not allowed to be metame himself in their death, which means that ad sheyamut. Okay, fine. I mean, he's not arguing. Apparently, he's just saying, I have another pasuk to say that. So that means that the Tanakhama was saying, I learned that from Lehechalo. He has to be a halal, and Rebbe is saying, is bimotam. So, my benayo. They're basically saying the same thing, right? Omer Rebbe Yochan, yeah. They are basically saying the same thing. Who says they're arguing? Mashma'ut dorshini kebenayo. The difference between them is only a question of where they find is most reasonable that is the mocker. Is bimotam more definitive that it has to be actually in their death? Or is it lehechalo, which is mashma that they have already bit the dust, so to speak, which is the nature of the word a halal ba'adama. He bit the dust. You know, we do have certain problems when there's a gradual mental deterioration. You'll notice that poor Reb Arnei is now drinking from an imaginary cup. I knew it had to end up like this. When you start off waving a cup, that's what's going to end up happening to you.
And putting on the air.
Okay. Can we get you a drink over there in your permanent automobile or bus or wherever we see you? It's so.
I would just wonder going to East Coast to go. I would appreciate a drink, but they'll have when we get there. Maybe they'll
check. Okay. Regards to Josh. Anyway, moving on. So, Rabbi Yochanan said, there's really no difference. If I learn it out from Lechalor, but Motam, it's just telling me the same idea. You've got to be completely dead before it will be a Tumah issue. But Reish Lakish says, no, there's a major difference between how to read this. The difference is somebody who is just at the edge of death, and he is Goses. So if we learn it out from Lechalor, so then, basically, why are we using the idea of lehechalo, a sense of making yourself chulin? Well, that's exposure to death even before the person actually died. And if that's the case, I mean, if you know that you are in the presence of death and the grim reaper is in the room, so then that's also lehechalo, and therefore it would mean that it would be tameh at that point. Whereas Aman Yomer Bimotam, it means literally, Achi Amut, he has to be decidedly dead. But God says, not. Says the Gemara, wait. It may say Lechalo, but it does say Bimotam. I mean, Bimotam, if Bimotam means he's very decidedly dead, so then how can you say that Lechalo means you're already over the Isser when he isn't dead? That doesn't make any sense. It does say b'motam. So l'man d'yomer mebehechalo, according to you, say that it's different halachas. What do you do with the fact that it does say b'motam? Ah, the Tanakhama uses b'motam to tell me a special din of Rebbe. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, from that pasuk b'motam, it teaches us that b'motam eno mitameh. A Nazir is only limited to Tumah that is coming from death. But a Nazir is not limited by treating a Mitameh binigatam ubezivatam. If he needs to treat someone who is a Mitzora or someone who is a Zav and he's going to become Tomei that way, that's not a problem. It's only Bimotam, but not for other issues of pathology of zivas or nigas. Okay, and what about according to Rebbe, you said that I understand that from bimotam, and that's the only time that the tumah is chal, I thought we need it for that. Don't we need it on Mibay Leila Haisvara? How can we use bimotam to tell me only if he's decidedly dead, if the point of the pasuk is saying only death and not zivas or nega? So then it's not coming to tell me decidedly dead, is it? Yes, it is. Because why would it say bimotam? It should just say bimot. So if you say bimot, that would say in death. But what's the point of saying in their death? Shema mina tarte. So first of all, it's coming to tell me in their death, not in their illness, and until mot, there is no tumah. So we have both of those halachas. Ulamandi Amar b'motam. So one second, according to Rebbe, who says that I know that tuma is only chal at the moment of death, what does he do with the fact that it says lehechalo? When the guy bites the dust, the guy may bite the dust before he's really decidedly dead. Ah, lehechalo, says Rebbe, is coming to tell me the other halacha that Ravuna was based on, that only mi she'eno mechulal. So where do we say that he's going to become chayev if he is currently tar? But yotzezeshem mechulal v'omeid. But in our case, where we're talking about the Kohen who's carrying this mace on his shoulder, he's already mechulal v'omeid, and therefore it doesn't apply. Ulaman di omer melehechalo, omi boile lahaisvara. But wait, so then if you need it to tell me that a Kohen is not going to be over if he's already a Tame, so how can you use it to tell me the idea that he only becomes Tame at the moment of Lechalo? I thought you needed to tell me that there's no Isser Big Batami a Kohen who already is Mukhalal. Make up your mind. No, because it could have said Lehachel. Why does it say Lechalo? So therefore it's coming to tell me, if this particular coin is in a state of being lehechalo, that's one thing. The other halacha is lehechel, at the moment that the person becomes a halal. Meisve. Ask the Gemara against the sheet of the Tanakama from a Beferisha Mishnah in Eyalis. Adam eino mitame elaad sheteitze nafsho vafilu meguyad vafilu goseis. There is no din of Tuma until he is decidedly dead. Even if he's cut up in pieces, and even if he is literally an inch away from death, if he hasn't died, he's not going to become Tame. Now, according to the Mandi Omar, who says it, Lehechalo, that if he is biting the dust, which is the way Rish Lakish understood it, he does become Tameh. How do you explain the Mishnah? Hakatani Deino Metame. It says Beferish over here that there is no Tuma. Answers the Gemara that Aliba the Tanakama, there is a new halacha that a Kohen is not allowed to be Metame himself. But there is also a separate halacha of lehechalo, and therefore le'inyan timuye. It's true that if you're going to say, does this kohen metame someone or something that he touches after he was exposed to this situation where the person had bit the dust but wasn't dead? So that's true. Ad nafka nafshe. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Until the guy is decidedly dead, for sure he's not going to be Matami the Kohen, so that the Kohen will now be Matami someone whom he touches. That's true. We're talking about a new Isser Lehechalo, not the same Isser as not becoming Tamei. There's an Isser for a Kohen, Le'inyan Atchuli, Ha'itcha. There's an Isser of a Kohen to have lowered himself to the point where he has turned himself essentially, this is how Reish Lakish understands it, of course, that according to Reish Lakish, who says that even, lehechalo means even, to be in the presence of someone who bit the dust, he doesn't mean that that's metame. Obviously, he's not going against the Mishnah in Eolais, but he means to say that the Torah added an additional Isser to a Kohen, that he cannot put himself into a position where he is essentially exposed to the presence of the Grim Reaper himself. And therefore, this is a special halacha for the kuhuna. So we've been talking about the gedarim of the dinim of tuma, and what the halacha would be of what type of tuma is actually mechayev. And we were talking about the different isurim, whether there's a tuma achar tuma, whether there's bia achar tuma, whether bia v'tuma coming together would be considered to be two separate Isurim, because we have two Psukim, Akol Nafshas Meis Lo Yavo, and then the regular idea, Ki Yamut Alav, Repeta Pitom, and so on. And we learned also a brand new halacha yesterday about there being a difference between lehechalo, that is to say, a getter of chalolus, of, so to speak, biting the dust, and of actual bimotam. So we found that it's possible to actually be mechalek between the two things, that there's no din of tuma entirely until achetein tzeitzei nafshei. However, there may be an inyan of mechulal v'omed, in the case where somebody is in a position where he's in a bias, where someone is a goses. Today we continue on Amud Beis. Omer Rav Chista, Omer Rav, Niktar Roshor Shel Aviv Eino Metamelo. So what type of heterim did we have from Tuma? We said that in the case of the specific, in terms of a Kayin, the specific family members, we have those seven family members, the Aviv, the Imo, the Achiv, the Achoto, Ashelo Etale Ish, the Bito, and the, we also have, of course, Ishto, and the din, of course, of a meit mitzvah. So now the question is, when? This is all nogea, of course, kahuna. This is not nogea nezirus, other than the meis mitzvah. Now the question is, what would be the din of a kohen in terms of the chiyav of kfura, where he's supposed to be betami himself, in the case where the body of the korev isn't whole? So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav, Niktar Rosho Shel Aviv, Eino Metamelo. Even though normally the Kohen is Mechuyev to be Metame himself for these relatives, and the primary one, the first one, was Aviv, and then Imai. But in the case that the body is not whole, so suppose the one of these Isis Meshugayim attacked his father, and his father was decapitated, so then a Kohen is not metame himself for the burial. My time, or makra le'aviv, the Torah specifies specifically le'aviv, bizman shehu shalem, it has to be his father as his father was. Velo bizman shehu chaser. Omar le Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna did not understand what the implications of such a psak could possibly be. Let's imagine that a guy is traveling with his father through Afghanistan. So he's ka'aze b'patka da'arvut. Nobody's around. These nuts attack them. And pasku agan v'lareshe. And they decapitate his father. So you're telling me he's supposed to leave the body lying there? Ochinami de lo latamila? I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it just doesn't make sense that he won't, that his father will leave his father, and his father will never have a burial. Omar Lay, she said to him, Rav Chista said to Rav Amnuna, I don't understand what you're asking. This is not a case of a Kohen and a father. This is a case of a Meis Mitzvah. You're telling me that he's walking with his father. And if he was walking with somebody else in the middle of Afghanistan, the point over here, the case that you're talking about is a Meis Mitzvah. Obviously, if a Kohen is Mechuyev to even bury a person who is not related in any way, if he's a meis mitzvah, so baviv lo kol shekein. Obviously, I mean, it's not going to be worse because it's his father, is it? However, the Gemara points out that curiously, in this particular case, he's not really a meis mitzvah. That's interesting. Why is that? Because for high meit mitzvah, you're considering this to be in the middle of Afghanistan. So you're saying, so if the son doesn't bury him, nobody's going to bury him, and therefore he is the one who's mechuyev to bury him. Now, that's not so poshut. The definition of a meit mitzvah is that no one is available to bury him. Ezel meit mitzvah, ko she'ein lo kovrim. So he doesn't have anybody who's going to bury him. What does that mean, ein lo kovrim? I understand. I mean, and if there's people 500 miles away that are kovrim, I mean, so you get them to come. What do you mean, ein lo kovrim? So the point is like this. If you're going to call, you're going to put in a call to people to come help you. Nobody's going to come. Korev acherim. So if people will come, acherim onimoto, then that's not called a meit mitzvah, because then there's other people that can actually take care of the issue over here. But in a case where he would be korei, it's not a meit mitzvah. Now, in this case, obviously, if he would be meeting up with someone else's body that's not related to him, you're 100% right. This situation would be a situation of a meit mitzvah. But the very fact that he is a son to this body means it's not a mate mitzvah, because he, as a son, is able to get this taken care of. That's the point. He doesn't have to do it himself, because as a son, he's responsible for burial. So responsible for burial could mean finding a couple of Arabs, if necessary, and paying them, or going to the next town and paying. So fine, so it'll cost money, whatever it'll be, but you'll get the mace buried. So the very fact that he's responsible for the burial means that it's not a mate mitzvah, and therefore is not doiche the Yisr of Kahuna, because he does not have to go and bury this body personally. And in this case, ha'it lebra, this case of the father, he has a son. That's the son we're talking about, the son who wants to be metame for the burial. But he's not considered to be a mate mitzvah. Says the Gemara, that's not true. We don't give these theoretical ideas that, well, he'll eventually find somebody. Can he do the burial now or not? Is he going to be able to find anyone at this moment? This is a body crying out for burial. That is a mate mitzvah. It's because ultimately it can be taken care of. So because of that, absolutely. Rav Chisda, I mean, this makes 100% sense, what he said, that of course we can't ask from a mate mitzvah. However, we can ask from the Braita. The Braita says like this. Now, this is a continuing of the same pasuk, la'aviv, la'imo. And then it says, ula achoto betula hakrova elav asher lo hayatala ish, la itama. Now, what is the point of saying la itama? We're talking about the list of all of the people, Aviv, Imo, Achiv. So why are we saying lo yitama to her? I mean, of course, that's the list. She's part of the list. So what are we stressing? To her, he can be metame. So what this implies is to tell me he can only be metame for her, but eino metame le'evoreha. Masha enkein for parts of her body. And this doesn't matter whether we're talking about parts of her body from a living body. So say we had to amputate a leg, and that has to be buried, and it's mitame, like an aver min hamet. But it doesn't matter. It says that it's only for the entirety, la, the entirety of his sister, he is mitame, but not for parts of his sister. Because, I mean, look, he's not even allowed to be mitame to the aver min hachai of his father. And therefore, it makes sense that he should not be able to be metame even for an aver min hamet of his sister. Now, listen to this, Rav Chisda. It adds, he's not metame le'aver min hachai of his father, but he would be machazirhu even al etzem kisa'ora. He would be allowed to go back if he had buried his father. He would be allowed to go back and become Tameh if he even discovered the slightest part of the body, even a barley grain of bone, that he's allowed to go back. Now, if he's allowed to go back, then the point is that he obviously had buried the body without the entirety of the body being there. So what does that mean when you say, Machazir hu al etzeb kisa'ora? Doesn't that tell me? Lav lamemra, the imachaser purta, that if it was missing a little bit, that nonetheless he's allowed to bury it. Now you, Rav Chisda, darshaned that le'aviv means kishehu shalem. And here it's saying you're allowed to even go back and become tameh, or to once again expose yourself to tumah as a kohen, even for part of a body, which means that originally you had been over on the tumah, because there was apparently a mitzvah to bury a body even that was missing that piece. So, Rav Chisda, how do you square this? Says the Gemara, what's the question? We know that there's a machlokas about this issue. That price is going aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, he says that it's mutter for, not only mutter, mechuyev, a kohen is mechuyev to be over on tumah, even to bury the body of his father if it's not whole. Mashen Ken Rav Chisda was going aliba the Chachomim, and the Chachomim disagree. I'll show you. Take a look at the price. The Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this pasuk, la mitama, we darshan as la mitama, Ve'eno mitame la'evareha. So he's not allowed to be metame himself for pieces of his sister's body. She'eno mitame al ever min achai shel aviv. Aval mitameu la'ever min hamet shel aviv. He would be metame for an ever min hamet. Of course, this is only talking about, now that we understand it this way, that it's where he was already tame, because he had already buried that body, and now there was part that needed to be buried. So that would be a case in which he had buried, essentially, had buried the father's body, which had been missing whatever that aver was. And therefore, what it's saying is that if you have a body that is essentially whole and missing an etzem kisaora or one aver, so then apparently he had been allowed to bury that body lechatchila. And now that he has already had been metame himself for that burial, he's now allowed to go and to be chaser even on a small part that had been missing in the original burial. So this apparently is the mokar of the shita. This is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that there's a difference between mechazer, we had already buried, and that's, of course, the difference between an aver min hamet and an aver min achai. An aver min achai is not going back to bury because the person is alive, obviously. An aver min hamet, over there he was already chayev and already been metame himself for the burial, and therefore he is allowed to be chayzer, but only to be chayzer. Where he had been in the middle of a burial and he still is tame, he's allowed to be chayzer, even for less. Okay, I understand. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Rav Chista, with this brisa? Well, Tanya Rav Kahana, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rav Kahana said this brisa by the that was apparently quoted in the Beis HaMedrash, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, which says lo yitama, which means la mitame, but eno mitame la evorim. He's not, you're not allowed to be mitame a kohen for part of a body, but this also, when we're talking about eno mitame la evorim, that also includes prat lekizayit minamet, ukizayit netzel, umlotar vadrekev. So when we say partial, that is to say evorim, evorim include, let's say, a kizayit of basar of a meit, or a kizayit of decomposed liquid of a meit, which is called netzel, or umlotar vadrekev, or leftover solid dust. We'll see what constitutes rekev later. And it's mitame in a tarvat. It's a special shear that has to do, it's like a full, I guess you would call it a ladle. And yochel now, continues the brisa. Now, that's because these things are not considered to be the equivalent of a actual body in need of burial. But what about in a case where you have the ikar of the body that is left behind? So yochel lo yitama l'shidra v'l'gugolat. See, you might think that you should not be allowed for, as a kohen, to be mitame for just the spinal column and the skull and l'rov binyana, or l'rov binyana of the sister. We'll see what that is later on, but whatever it's considered, most of the actual human frame, or the most of the number of the evorim in the body, that means the bones of those evorim. So we know that there are 248 evorim. Now, these are actually, if you take a look at the biology of this, what we're talking about is 248 centers of ossification. These are not to be found. You won't be able to identify 248 separate evorim in an adult. But if you take a look at the formation of a body, there are 248 ossification centers that then merge and fuse as the person grows. So that would mean that if you find 125 of these evorim, so you might think that that doesn't need burial. Therefore, it says in the pasuk, apparently, an additional tzivui. Vayomer Hashem o Moshe, emor, this is the famous drasha, emor v'amarta. So emor l'kohanim b'nei Aharon, v'amarta aleihem. What's this repetition of emor v'amarta? Therefore, it comes along to say, Amor v'yamar talihem, hosif l'cha hakatuv tumacheret. The Torah is saying, tell the Kayani, that even though everything hasn't been spelled out over here, in this pasuk of lo yitama, but hosif l'cha tumacheret, that the Torah is adding an additional tumah that the Kohen should be over in order to be able to be mekayim, the mitzvah of burial, of his, talking about the sister over here. So where did we say before that you're not allowed to bury part of her? Lo yitama, that has to be the whole of la. That's only if it's a small chelik. But if it's a major chelik of the body, so then we have a special pasuk to tell me that you are metame. Now, you might think, continues the Braita. I guess we should keep going here, yeah? We'll go to the Mishnah still as part of this daf. So, yocho lo yitama, l'shidra v'l'gugolet, l'robin yano, l'robin yano shalachirim. So, you might think if we're making this drosha dafka in terms of the sister, which is the lo yitama, versus Emor v'Amarta. So you might think that when it comes to other relatives that were listed over here, that maybe there would not be a chiyuv for the Kohen to be metame, even la'aviv or la'imo, and this din is dafka quoted la'achoto. That's what you might think. Well, I mean, consider that. Does that make sense? Amrit. I mean, ask yourself. It doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, ma'achoto miyuchedet shegufat talui bo. The point over here is that we understand that these special relatives that we're listing over here is the sense of familial responsibility that he has in taking care of these people in death. So that's the list. That's what we mean by tolui bo. She's dependent on him as one of the prime members of the family that's going to be taking care of her. And unless she's married, that's what he says, shelo hayta la'ish. But so if she's married, so she has her own family that can take care of her. But in this event, that she's alone, so she's relying on her brother for her final rights, so to speak. So because of that, we just showed that the pasuk is specifically mechayevim to be metame for her, even where it's just most of her. So he's metame l'shidra v'l'gugolet v'l'rov binyana v'l'rov binyana. So therefore, it makes sense, as a mamatzino, that any case where kol shegufo talui bo, where the individual's burial, that body, the guf, is talui bo for burial, which is any of the other relatives that the Torah listed, mitame l'shidra u'l'gugolet u'l'rov binyano, u'l'rov binyano. Now, I mean, Rav Chista, I don't think that you could have a brisa saying more clearly that you're wrong. You said that the only time that the Torah is matir is if it's lo, meaning that it's the entirety of her body. And here it's saying beferish, that that's not true, and that you're specifically supposed to be mitame as a kohen, even if you only have rov. And says the Gemara again, what's your problem? We've already seen that there's a machlokas between Rav Yehuda, legabi the din of Chazora, correct? So that means that Alibin Rabbi Yehuda, you were allowed to be Kever. There we were talking about his father. So Machzir. So that means that having been Kever, a goof that was missing a small part, he's supposed to go back now if he's Tame and bury that small part if he was already Metame himself. Okay, so then we know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, obviously, if you have the essential body, then he was supposed to bury that l'chatchila. But as we said before, Rav Chista, he was speaking over, not his own shita, it was Rav Chista Omer Rav, right? So when Rav said that halacha, he was going aliba d'haytana. We haven't shown the opposite tana, and that was the tanya. It says in a braita that ma'aseh shemet aviv shel Rabbi Yitzchak beginzak. So it happened that Rabbi Yitzchak's father had been away on a trip. Ginzak is very far away, and it took 3 years later for him to find out about it. So he wanted to reinter his father and to bring him back to where the family's plot was. And he only found out about it 3 years later. So he went to ask Rabbi Yeshua ben Elisha, and there were four Zakenim together with Rabbi Yeshua ben Elisha, whether he was allowed, he was a Kohen, so was he allowed to reinter his father, which is also a mitzvah that it should, the burial should be with the family. And he wanted to go bring the body back to Eretz Yisrael, or cases like that. So is he allowed after 3 years to go and to do that? V'amru, so they said to him, if 3 years has passed, then there's no way that that body is complete. And therefore, since it says la'aviv bizman shu shalem, v'zvolo bizman shu chaser, and that is the braita. So Rav was going aliba that shita, which was clearly not like Rabbi Yehuda, in which we had these Zakenim plus Rabbi Yeshua ben Elisha, that all paskin exactly the way that Rav had said. So Enochinami, there is a machlokas about whether there's a difference between Rov Binyono, and the other Inyonim, Shira Rav Gogolas, things that are considered to be the ikar of a body or not.